Hello there, Outposters. We got a very impromptu stream. With me, I have today, Dom. Say hello, Dom.
Ladies and gentlemen, folks of the court, I salute you. Merry tides this brilliant new year.
I've got my rum and root beer. You've got your regular beer.
And today we're drinking Colorado iced tea, otherwise known as Coors Original.
You should get the basket. What do they call it? The little tiny, the Johnny Lawrence bottles.
The little stubbies?
Yeah.
I wish I did, but we're drinking alpha male sizes today, 16 ounces. Proper imperial pints, as it were.
Understood, sir.
For our friends.
Understood. So, I don't know why. I guess because the trailer came out. We wanted to talk a little bit about WandaVision. And then
go ahead.
I just threw you off there because I was going to say
I know.
Kong.
It's all right. I'm going to get back on track. Don't worry.
I'm just playing with your head at this point. I don't give a fuck.
I move on my feet. Don't worry.
That's right.
I'm ready to go. I'm like a boxer.
Hey, you know, we're doing good things here. So I hope all of you were able to watch the little interview I was able to do with Sybil Lake and her new movie. I have not reviewed the movie. I'll confess, I've never had to review a movie of somebody that made it that I've actually met. And
so you feel a little extra pressure then. That's what you're saying.
Yes, now, I do.
You basically have a bond and you don't want to betray that bond.
Well, I got to be honest about it, but I said to her,
best friend, his band sucks. I mean, that's assuming the movie could be good. I don't know.
The movie. Look, when I said it's better than Wonder Woman 84, I meant it. As far as trying to put together a story that made sense and was well, edited, and this, right. I understood why people are doing what they're doing for the most part. I mean, there was obviously some ambiguity that was on purpose, but at least I understood that it was on purpose. Were there problems with the movie? Yeah, there were a lot. And a lot of that has to do with being a low budget. And I guess I feel a lot more sympathy towards the whole thing because A, I'm putting the finishing touches on a giant James Bond part one series that I'm going to hopefully have uploaded tomorrow. And I know what a pain it is to go through there, get your sound right and everything. And two, right. she had zero budget. I mean, mm-hmm. She had barely enough. It probably all went to Tom Sizemore and whatever drugs he might be on.
Whatever issues he might have.
Yeah. And she plainly said, she said, most of my time was spent babysitting him. And then the other piece is that she took one take for everything. Like, she didn't take two or three takes for stuff. So you have to make
it.
Making it work with one take, I can't imagine. So now I'm kind of like going, well, knowing all that, because my first look at the movie is like, well, is this all right? I mean,
right.
You understand the low budget. But then when she talks about all the problems that she went through to make it work, then you start getting nicer about the whole thing, right?
And absolutely.
I also sincerely meant it. I said, God, I got a lot of respect for making it happen. You know, she has like five credits on IMDb. That's it. She's had a bit part here, a guest part there, nothing major. And then she goes out and she lands Tom Sizemore and makes this movie. And I'm going, and it isn't incompetent. It's got problems.
Right.
But it isn't completely right. incompetent like you might expect for just somebody just throwing together a movie. It's got some, mm-hmm. There are times where it's got some interesting ideas going on in it. And, it's taken down by its own budget more than anything. But Sizemore does a great job of acting. I mean, he doesn't phone it in. At least I didn't feel like.
He is a quality actor.
He is.
You know. Despite his reputation, I guess, especially now. But you know what would be really interesting is if you
thank you, Tommy.
Had sort of like this firsthand knowledge on how miserable making a movie can actually be sometimes, and now all these struggles and all these problems and everything else going on, does that affect how you think of a movie? Even a big budget thing made by committee, if you realize, oh my God, there are people stopping just short of wanting to kill somebody for, let's say, 2 pages of script, does that alter what you think about that film?
It did for me.
Would you think Star Wars, let's say Star Wars, because we're nerds and we're idiots.
I was going to bring that up, but you finish your thing, and then I'll go into what I'm thinking.
But if you'd have heard, or you would have read, let's say, the unauthorized Hollywood expose of what was going on, let's pull a rabbit out of our hat here, Last Jedi. And it turns out there were knockdown, drag-out fights over what was going to go into the film. And that you had a filmmaker who was, like, adamant, I'm doing this. And you had a producer who was adamant that, no, you are not. And it was well-publicized. And you knew more than you would ever know about a Hollywood production. And then you go to see that film. Would knowing what happened behind the scenes change how you feel about that film? Actually, I just realized Titanic would be that, because that is a legendary fight behind the scenes just to get that movie made because of how expensive it was. Does that change the way you think about it?
Abyss.
Does that change how you think about it? Do you realize, you know what, maybe this isn't that bad because the guy had a revolver to his head screaming he's going to do it, or, you know, I mean, whatever. But
well, you got to separate, you know, you're looking at the movie and looking at it on its own merits, right? The story, you know, so I look at a few things. Does the story make sense? Do the characters make logical choices within the narrative? Even
do you understand what they're doing and why?
Yeah. Even if they make a bad choice or stupid choice within the narrative, mm-hmm. if it's part of the narrative, like the guy's an alcoholic, so he keeps making bad choices. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, why is he making these stupid choices? But you understand it because he's an alcoholic, and, you know, that's the story. It's when they make illogical choices that are just because of lazy screenwriting. That's when we get upset, right? So you mentioned Star Wars. You take the original Star Wars, which was a great big hit and was a great movie, and you find out all the shit that went wrong in that movie. And to the point that Lucas was hospitalized before it came out. He thought he was going to die. And then it turns out to be this huge hit, which everybody in power over him, 20th Century Fox and everything, had pretty much given up on it and mm-hmm. trashed the movie and said it was going to, you know, I wasn't even sure if he was going to get it out. If it were, you know, everybody that loves Star Wars, you need to thank your stars for Alan Ladd Jr. because he's the only reason that thing got.
The only one who believed in it.
Yep. And it wasn't until it finally was finished and people, you know, the suits watched it that they realized, holy shit, this is really good. And not all of them, only a few of them. But does that make the movie better or worse because of what he went through? It doesn't really enter into it, does it? I mean, either the movie's good or the movie's bad. But it does taint your, it does make it harder to separate that opinion. Yeah.
It's even, you can bring up Francis Ford Coppola had a massive heart attack filming Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Does it change how you feel about Apocalypse Now, or does it give you, maybe changing opinion, but does it give you another perspective? Does it open up another avenue at looking at something? I think that's
okay. So now add this into it. You get to sit down with the star, the writer, and the director of this person's mm-hmm. passion project for 20 minutes. Now, I'm sure I understand in the industry, this happens all the time. People sit down, they have their interviews, they do their promotions and everything.
Right.
And then they, you know, the same paper will write a review, just scathing. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the business. And I'm sure she understands that, but I told her, I said, part of the reason we made this site was, one, to have fun and to not be engaging in all the culture war stuff, although that sometimes is a part of it, whether we want to, you know. It's inevitable. We can't avoid it. But, you know, we're not huge professionals out here. This is new to me. So, you know, I'm and I have at least a modicum of understanding of what it takes to get something put out there, and then that people mm-hmm. don't you know, either shit on it or love it or whatever, and you go, okay, wow,
right.
You know, I mean, I already had somebody, I think he was ribbing me a little bit, but he already put something, he says, why didn't you transcribe it so that we could read it? Fuck, okay, you know, it's always a critic, right? So you just gotta deal with that, and I'm sure she understands that as much as anybody. But for me, I'm totally honest, it's like, how do I give a very honest review? And I haven't said anything that I've been dishonest about. I didn't say I hated the movie. I think it's got problems, mostly because of the low budget. I think the acting in it, other than Tom Sizemore's, has issues. And right. That's, again, she wasn't able to get top shelf acting. But the script, I think, is not bad. I think the script is okay. And the ideas are okay. So you go, okay, how do I judge this? And to the point that I'm like going, I'm not sure if I'm going to review this movie because I'm not sure if I can be objective anymore. And I don't want to.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
You might know more than you need to know.
You
probably have lost your objectivity too, which isn't. I mean, it's not bad. You talk to the person that made it. There's nothing wrong with that. But now you're like, oh, I know more about what it took to get into it, and now I realize that. It's not.
She's giving me knowledge that I'm generally not aware of. You know, when I watch a movie that I have no knowledge of what it was aware of. Yeah, I watch Wonder Woman 84. Yeah, I'm sure that was hard work for everybody involved, but it was also a $150 million budget or whatever it was. And it was garbage.
That's big. Well,
it may be. Yeah, I'm not accounting marketing. So, and it was garbage. I mean, I'm sorry. It was garbage. I liked 2017 Wonder Woman. It had, you know, I'm not a big fan of the ending. I've said that before. But, you know, this one was terrible. And it was nonsensical. And you're thinking, you have all this money and you can't make a plot that makes sense. And here, this poor woman, she makes, I say poor woman. I mean, she's made her own movie. She got to, you know, but she put together a great movie.
But in terms of the industry.
Yeah, she put together her own movie. I don't want to say great movie. She put together her own movie. She did it all herself. She managed to film sometimes guerrilla warfare, probably in New York City. She got it all done before COVID. Then she had to fight all the distribution shit because of COVID. And finally gets it out on VOD. And everybody will kind of look at it, shrug, give it a crap review, and move on. And it'll be forgotten. And I'm like going, you know, that my objectivity is now out the window because I'm like, I've talked to this person. I listened to her say, I could only take one take for everything. Oh, well, that changes things, doesn't it? I ran out of money for the score. The one guy made the score. I didn't like it. I love the trailer music and I couldn't get that score. You know, you hear all that stuff and you go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, the nice guy in me tends to want to go, how can I crap on this movie? You know.
Yeah, that is a fantastic, I mean, it's got to suck because now you're in an awkward position, but that is a fantastic sort of world or belief that you now struggle with. You have to struggle with now.
Yeah.
Because
I've got ones of readers out there that are hanging on my every word.
You have your neighbor who's desperate to know you think about something.
My mom reads this every day. Yeah. And I need to make sure that I give her a good opinion. Yeah. It's our little website. I mean, we get enough readers and stuff out there. But I do want to, if we do get to thousands of readers and thousands of viewers, I want to make sure that I'm trying to be honest with everybody about, you know, the movie was what I liked. The plot made sense. It was a little horror movie. Tom Sizemore's acting was very, very good. I thought some of the editing was done kind of, I don't know what they call it, but it's just kind of like smash cut editing most a lot of times. Well, she only had to take one take,
like you
so that was
in camera basically.
Not quite like that, but you know, you go to one scene and there's no flow into the next scene. It's just moment, 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 moment. I don't know if that's cinema verite or it's something completely different.
Yes. It's a Stanley Kubrick film in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a style that I'm not really I don't like it because it lacks flow, but it's not there's nothing wrong with that style. And of course, part of that is, well, I kind of had to go that way. I only had one take for everything.
So I mean, look at you. You're making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah. So I appreciate her being creative like that, right? But I it's just not my cup of tea. I think the score was really bad, and she kind of admitted that. I did think that the sets, because she filmed in actual apartments and actual bars and, you know, did a lot of grill. So right. The sets look good because they weren't sets. They were actually places. So that's kind of nice. Made it look better. And then she was able to get some drone guy to give her some really nice aerial shots. And then she spooked him up a little bit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, I was like, God, that's pretty good. Again, the acting, well, you could tell when Tom Sizemore was on screen and others were on screen, you know?
Right.
And I think with her acting, I don't know, there were times where she did a really good job in some quieter scenes, and times where I think if she had gone more, if she had tried to make it seem like things were more normal when they weren't, mm-hmm. that denial kind of crazy, that would have been more effective, yeah. than the full on fatal attraction crazy. But again, she was juggling God knows how much. And she says herself, she says, times, I couldn't remember what the hell my own line, I wrote the damn thing. I don't remember what my line is because I'm spending all my time making sure Sizemore's happy.
That's fair. That's,
well, you know, you feel like if you don't have the money and everything, these are all forgivable things, right? So then you kind of right. go, oh, shit. Well,
but man, then you still have to judge the final product.
You got to judge the final product, yeah. And I feel like she did her best. I honestly told her, and I actually meant this, if she had an actual budget and she had people that could take some of this work off of her, what she could actually produce, because the plot, there was something there and it made sense. And I really appreciate that it was an hour and 22 minutes. She was in, out. She kept it tight. She moved it along. Right. So it's kind of like, she needs, you know, I feel like somebody like that ought to get a break. And because right. she's trying to do something and she's just not making, you know, stupid action popcorn schlock that just is, that is made by marketers, not by filmmakers.
Which we're going to get to in a minute.
Yes.
This sounds like something that should absolutely be taught and maybe even explained in a film class.
I think so.
That it doesn't work the way you want it to. You typically have to improvise. You've got to use what you have, and a lot of times you just got to make the best of it and still try and put something together. I think it's a phenomenal, it's a teachable sort of lesson. And I guarantee you, if she gets another shot to make something,
well, she's going
to use everything. And you're going to elevate your game because you know what the bottom is. So you have been to the bottom. You can only go up.
And so she financed it all herself. So, I mean,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I think she. I mean, I'm sure she had some investors, but she, you know, she did a lot of the financing herself. But, you know, to make it happen and to get it done, get it in the can, and get it out for distribution, I mean, with no real studio backing,
right?
I mean, there's something. There's a part of me that's like, you gotta respect her for that, you know?
She's got balls.
Yeah, she does. Balls.
She went and did it. Most of us have only dreamed about doing something like that. Yeah. Regardless of the outcome, I mean, shit, Ed Wood has done more than I've ever done.
Yeah, and so there's kind of a respect for him for that kind of
stuff. Absolutely, there's. You made absolute shit, Ed Wood, but you did it. You went for it. You tried, which, you know, you have to tip your cap to.
So that's my foray into it. Was a lot easier with Lisa Downs, where I did the interview about the Life After Flash documentary, because I really love the Life After Flash documentary. And I also bought her Life After the Navigator documentary, which, by the way, I recommend all of you see. It is heart-wrenching what that poor kid went through. And well, you can read the review. I don't want to go into a lot of depth on that one, but it was pretty impressive. And she did a great job. She definitely moved things back and forth, and
yeah.
And really got a story out of it that was more than just, hey, remember this? Because I've seen enough documentaries about how the movie was made, but this Life right. After series that she's kind of stumbled into is really interesting because you get to see what happens. And a lot of these people, they've had rough times. So
it's a wonderful insight mm-hmm. into, you can take something you really, really like, some property, some movie, TV show, whatever it is, and you've got everything you love about it, and then that it doesn't end for some people. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, and with this guy, it was different. It wasn't about ending his movie career. That was right. what shocked me about this whole thing. He didn't really care about the fame and stuff. It was all about mm-hmm. his father, just not having a connection and not having a father. And then his father, he finally tracked him down and called him when he was really, I think he was a teenager yeah. still. His father tells him to go kill himself. I mean, like, what kind of damage do you think you've done? He wasn't sit there, you know, whining about his movie career or trying to get this fame. That wasn't what was driving all this self-destruction. And that could happen to any of us. You don't need to make a movie. You just happen to have made a movie. Scary stuff, man.
No fault of your own, but it's the situation you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, good stuff. So, you have not watched WandaVision. I have.
I have not. I've seen the trailer. I went, okay. I will tell you this. I admire what it looks like they're going for. Whether or not they've achieved it, I don't know because I haven't watched it. But I like the idea, at least on the outside looking in, which is me, of sort of jumping around. It looks like it's filmed sitcom style or TV show style, and you're jumping around from 50s, the 70s, 60s, 90s, whatever. I like that. I am 100% for that. It to me, it's too bad that it's a comic book thing, but that's the world we live in, and if there's somebody taking a chance somewhere, I think that should be sort of embraced and maybe celebrated. I even think sort of the same thing with Mandalorian, which I still haven't watched, but it looks like a Western in space.
It is. And
for that, I will get to it, and maybe I will do a drunken live episode of me finally embracing this god-awful thing, but I like that. Somebody is taking a chance somewhere with something. Somebody is, fine, it's a comic book, it's Marvel, it's made $900 billion, whatever it is, you could finance several wars with the budgets and the money they've made. But they're doing something a little bit different. It is not by the numbers, at least as far as I can tell. You're about to go into it. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions probably on it, but I like that. I got to admit, I wasn't impressed, but I went, you know what? You're going for it, and I like that. So go ahead. Is it any good?
It started out great. I'm somewhat disappointed in the last episode, and I don't think
it's a spoiler issue or what?
Yeah,
or is it just doesn't go in the right direction?
Okay, so like there's a bunch of mysteries that happen in the first three episodes, and then you pretty much get all the mysteries, almost all the mysteries, figured out in the fourth episode. And you're like, okay, that's what all that is. No more questions, you know? And they got another five episodes to go. Now, I'm not saying that there are no that there are no mysteries still to be had. In fact, there's still plenty, but it's not like Twin Peaks. I was hoping for more of a Twin Peaks kind of thing where you're just everything's so damn ambiguous as they went through here. And I guess that would be pretty tough to do with the MCU.
Right. Is this the case where kind of like Lost, where you have all these, what the hell are you building to? And then it doesn't matter. The answer's not going to make you happy no matter what.
No.
Kind of situation.
It's not so much that the answers don't make me happy. It's that I got them all in one shot. This is anti-Lost. It's like, With Lost, it was like everything was ambiguous to the point of you had no idea what the fuck you were doing, did you, JJ? And in this one, it's like, here's every damn answer for every question, that every little tidbit of questions that we laid before you. So like in the first episode, first of all, you got the first three episodes. The first one is like a Dick Van Dyke-ish kind of show. And The second one is more of a Bewitched. And the third one is more of a kind of a Brady Bunch type show, kind of a goofy. And the first one's the 50s, second one's the 60s, third one is the 70s. In the 50s show. No. Yes, in the 50s.
Are we debating spoilers?
Yeah, we're going to do spoilers. Are you okay with spoilers, or do you want me to keep you quiet? You want me to keep you quiet?
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. You never give a shit. So, no. In the 50s show, they had like a couple of odd moments with the way the characters acted. And then and you kind of go, like, they didn't remember how they got there, things like that. And then in the 60s show, Wanda finds like it's still like her, the reality is in black and white, but she sees a colorful toy helicopter in the bush. It's red, and you know, it's in color where everything else is not. And then a radio.
Too bad it's not like in Pleasantville, because I'd like to see that. Remember Pleasantville, where everything comes into color because they start realizing things about themselves?
Well, it does come into color at the end of the second episode, and that's when they transition into the 70s. The end of the first episode, you see somebody's watching the TV, and they close a book like they were writing on it and then put it aside. Yeah. So somebody's watching them, right? And then at the end of the second episode, a beekeeper comes out of a manhole and looks at them. And then it's really weird, surreal thing, right? And then she kind of rewinds, or somehow it rewinds the episode. And then she just, like, they never went out there or something. And then the third episode, she has kind of a revelation with Geraldine, who we find out is Monica Rambeau, the daughter of Maria Rambeau from Captain Marvel, and just tosses her out of the town.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth episode, we get every answer to all of those little moments.
That's like,
this is why it happened. And it's not unsatisfactory, really. It's not.
Yeah.
But it's also like, okay, I get the deal now. I get what's going on. Okay, so now what's going to happen in the next episodes is all going to be about fixing this. Which isn't necessarily bad, but it feels like they got cold feet or something. Like they didn't want to keep the mystery going. They couldn't dole it out a little bit more, sprinkle it out over the course of the next.
That's kind of like the ending of the second Matrix, you know, where they're just like, nah, we're just fucking with you. You're not important. It's just, we're just going to dump this on us now. We're not going to keep going. There's no more. We're not expanding on anything anymore. We're just, just kidding.
Wouldn't call it that necessarily. I would say more about just saying everybody is going to be, because I mean, it wasn't like when you got to the end of the second Matrix that you had any clue what the fuck was going on. In fact, it got worse, right? But in this one, it's like, okay, I know everything that's going on. It's now become standard sci-fi fare, which isn't terrible. Yeah. That isn't bad. I like standard sci-fi fare. I like Star Trek. I like, you know, those kinds of things. But I feel like they had something really weird and interesting here, and they
got cold feet.
They got cold feet. Yeah, that's what happened. That's how I feel.
You got to push the weird. You really got to keep going. If that's what you're going to do, absolutely. I mean, it's like a Hunter Thompson book. You can just go. Keep going. Take this to its natural conclusion and just go with wherever it's going. That's too bad. It kind of takes the fun out of wanting to start it, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
I won't say that it's terrible or anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nothing hasn't been competent, entertaining. What's happening, the way they come out, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not upset with the reveals of the mystery or anything. I'm not going, oh, it's so stupid. No, I mean, it's fine. It's nothing right. like that. It just, it all came out in this one episode. And I feel like, okay. Now I'm not so, yeah.
But are you interested in watching beyond that?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are? It's good enough to keep you going with it, though.
Yes.
Despite the roadblock.
Yes.
Well, you know what? That's a positive sign in and of itself. That means there's competent sort of filmmaking going on, or at least storytelling going on, that if you're like, nah, I'm gonna keep going, whatever.
No, I would say absolutely. I would say absolutely there's plenty of competent storytelling going on. There's nothing that I'm really upset about or anything like that. I just wish they had done a little bit more. I wish they'd taken a little bit longer to say, let's just sprinkle out the answers instead of, right. you know, they could have had something really good there. And yeah, again, I don't want it to turn into a Lost where it's like, what the fuck's going on with the island? You know, what does it mean? Why?
I'm in the process still of watching that with my kids, and there are points it turns up and I go, wait until you see what happens. And something happens. And I'm going, oh, yeah, you're right. But I still love the show. Full disclosure, I absolutely love the show. But it's, I get that. I'm watching it happen with my kids now that, oh, that's it? And you're like, yeah, that's it. Now you gotta wait. Keep going with it a little bit. It's still worth venturing into.
My daughter.
And then something happens again. You're like, oh, that's right. Keep going. It's still good. It's still good.
Yeah, you keep having to talk them into it. My daughter watched like the first season; she loved it, and she watched the second season, and she was like, "Nah, I'm done." She didn't get through the third.
Almost the third done with is the a second slog. Season now. Oh, I think it once it goes off the rails, and I don't want to say it too loud because I think they're close by. But once it delves into 1977 and things just go off the rails, I'm like, you know what? We're just going to watch this and enjoy it, and it's enjoyable enough.
After the third season is the worst, and then when you get past that, where he goes, we gotta go back, Kate. We gotta go back.
Yeah, when they're jumping back and forth, it's like
that's when it got.
My
cool.
kids do not believe that it jumps forward and backwards and sideways and left and right. And I'm like, oh, wait until you get to the future, and then you jump back, and you're completely lost.
That's right.
But if WandaVision is somehow managing to sort of surf that relatively well and still be entertaining and engaging, I think that's a good sign. Despite a roadblock, it's still a good sign.
They clearly have an idea in mind. They know what they're putting together here. So I'm not wanting to like totally crap on the show like it's just terrible. They've got a plan in mind, and it's there's nothing here where I say, oh, that's just terrible or stupid or anything like that. But there is a execution issue that I think this episode irritated.
Yeah.
You know, people seem to like it. There was one review I read where they just absolutely crapped on the episode. I was like, come on. It's fine. You know, it's just standard sci-fi fare when you're kind of used to all this. This is so weird, you know, and you're kind of enjoying the weirdness.
But it's proof that if you're going to do something like this, you have to plan it out to the beat. You have to have, from episode one to episode last, you have to have everything planned almost meticulously. Which is one thing that you can grant the Marvel movies did to a T.
Yep.
There was the plan, and we're not deviating from it. We are doing this, then we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, and then you're going from A to B to C to D to E, and you're doing it not only that's what you're doing, here's why you're doing it.
Correct.
This is what's going to happen because of it. And if you're going to do something fun and interesting, which is WandaVision, you probably should have really planned it out that way, which is we're going A, B, C, D, and E, and you have to get the whys in there. And there has to be that drawn-out reason for it. And you have to make sure you're going to do it, because you avoid that, oh, we're just going to fucking answer your questions now because we want to move on. Plan it all out. Drag it all out. Keep it interesting. Keep it moving. It's If you're going to do assembly line production, do assembly line production.
Yeah, and
this has been Dom with the beer report.
Well, that's been the problem with the MCU, hasn't it? It's had it, and I really enjoy the MCU. Don't get me wrong here, but there has been a lot of keeping it safe in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think they went a little weird with the Guardians of the Galaxy, which was cool. I like Civil War a lot. I mean, the ones where they really kind of stretch themselves are the ones I enjoy the most. The ones where it's especially like Doctor Strange. It's not that I dislike that movie, but it's basically Iron Man. And, you know, cool ending, but a lot of those movies are kind of this, there's a sameness to them. And so I was, and maybe that's why I'm so disappointed, is because, like, man, they really try to do something different here, and then they pushed out. And that's right. How I feel.
Having not actually seen very many of the films, I saw the first Iron Man, and then Avengers, Ender's Game, or whatever the hell it's called, the last one.
Endgame.
Perfectly fine. Okay. I'll take your word for it. I don't know. I'll wait for the science. But, I will grant them, they did one thing brilliantly, which is they turned movie making into a German car factory. Everything happened precisely for a reason. A, B, boom, 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 boom. And they stuck to it. And they built a very nice, perfectly functioning piece of entertainment. But they did it because they held firm this sort of, we're doing it this way and we're not deviating, and you will hire really good filmmakers and really good artists, and oh, by the way, you're doing it this way and you were not deviating from it. And they were successful. They built a very nice and very serviceable piece of entertainment. You look at Star Wars or DC, which are more like sort of Fiat or Alfa Romeo, where it's like, you know, it's the, oh, fuck it, we're just going to do whatever approach to filmmaking, and it doesn't work. It doesn't hold up. It doesn't sustain itself. Clearly, they're a German car factory, and maybe they should have built tanks during the war. They'd have been successful.
Yeah, no. But
German tanks worse.
I won't lie. I'm going to adjust your camera here a little bit because I have made this kind of, nah, just don't move, god damn it. Now I gotta I'm trying to adjust so that you look better in the frame here that I've created. There we go. Yeah, see, now you leaned in, now it's terrible.
I am big, it's the frames that got small.
That's right.
Sunset Boulevard, watch the film, HBO Max.
So anyway, I do recommend WandaVision. I liked it. It's entertaining. I think the sitcoms, the pseudo sitcoms, are a hoot. And
it's interesting. It's different, and I can appreciate that. I like the attempt.
I do too. I like them swinging for it, and we'll just see how it goes from there. So, okay.
Speaking of going for it, we have a giant lizard fighting a somehow giant ape that was never all that big to begin with, but now it's huge because it hung out with Jose Canseco, and they're fighting each other on an aircraft carrier. Yoda, we're talking Godzilla versus Kong.
Godzilla versus Kong. I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I hope they go all in on the schlock. And when I saw Kong coming at him, and had the thing up above his head.
He's got an axe
or something. He's deflecting Godzilla's flame breath. I'm like, look, that's what I've been wanting, okay? That's all I've been wanting.
Finally. Pure shit. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Stop giving me
$500 million.
Stop giving me these stupid let me tell you why mankind is bad about nuclear war. Oh, fuck it. I just want to see Bad Ape smash Big Lizard. What's the problem here?
Two things. Number one, there's nothing wrong with giant ape beating up giant iguana.
That's right.
Lizard.
I don't know what the problem is.
But there's also nothing wrong with trying to sort of add in some of that old-fashioned science fiction. I mean, the first Godzilla is about nuclear weapons. I mean, Japan just got nuked. What,
now, like, when you're talking about the one from 50 whatever.
The Godzilla.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the movie really is about nuclear weapons and nuclear war because Japan just had two dropped on it. And for all you millennials out there, it's the only country that's had two dropped on it.
So they were asking for it.
Well, they begged for it, those little bitches. But it is it's one of those good old-fashioned science fiction films that science fiction was always trying to be kind of about something.
Yeah.
Not just shit in space, you know. It was, oh, we're trying to tell a story. Good horror is the same way. So I don't mind the attempt, which is why I like Godzilla 2014. Kong is, oh, eh, look at it. It's okay. It's not bad. It looks decent. It's kind of fun to watch. Nowhere near as good as Peter Jackson's King Kong. And then there, I think anybody who disagrees with me is headed for.
I disagree.
Really?
I don't, that Peter Jackson's King Kong is an overstuffed piece of shit.
Great. Oh, it's great. No, it's a wonderful love letter to the way films used to be. There's nothing wrong with it. It's exciting and it keeps up with the King Kong tradition, and it's another one of those films that's secretly about something else, and it's fun to watch.
It didn't need to be 36 hours long. I'm just saying.
It doesn't need to be as long as Titanic or the Lord of the Rings movies. I will give you that, but it's interesting and entertaining still.
You know when that movie lost me is when he was fighting three dinosaurs instead of one, and he's throwing around Naomi Watts like a hacky sack.
Oh, come on!
I'm like going, it's why isn't she? Why isn't she jealous?
Dinosaurs? Why are you worrying about because that kind of thing?
Well, if he had set her up in a tree and then fought, I'd have been fine. But instead, she's flying. And I'm like, how is she not jelly? What is the problem? She should be a stain on his palm.
Do you realize that putting her on a tree would have cost $13 million and 3 extra weeks worth of filming, and they couldn't do it? So guess what? Ragdoll City, USA.
So they put
problem with it. It's a cartoon.
They must have paid a lot more money to have her do that much bullshit. I'm sorry. It is way too long.
I think it's great. And it has Jack Black, who is the great. It should have been nominated for an Oscar, quite frankly. Matter of fact, he probably should have won it because he played Orson Welles better than Liev Schreiber, who played Orson Welles in a little movie called RKO 281 or whatever it was called.
That was...
Oh, he was. Jack. It's the best Jack Black performance ever. It's the best one it'll ever be. I don't care for him as an actor or anything
else, but Tropic Thunder.
He is absolutely... Oh, okay. Take it back. But he is absolutely brilliant as Orson Welles.
I'm... Jesus Christ, man, you're killing me.
And the movie is entertaining, and then the fight at the end, and
that was Peter Kong Jackson. He's getting all high on his own Lord of the Rings bullshit.
So far up his fucking ass, and it is. It's, you know, it's like we're going down this shit tube together because I'm hooked.
That was when I was like, oh God. This is what The Hobbit's going to be, isn't it? Way too long and way too over... Oh, three fucking movies? Oh, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Could have told you that after The Lord of the Rings was nine movies long.
Jeez. Well, The Lord of the Rings was a big three-book epic. Yeah. And you could have... And I never felt like it... I never felt its length. The Hobbit is insanity.
Until Return of the King with its third act, which is essentially just...
Okay, that was the only time.
Ending after... Ending after ending.
It was
basically
earned.
Like
it was earned.
Jedi.
So anyway, Godzilla.
Yeah. Big lizard on an aircraft carrier. What do you think? And there's a gorilla with an axe. So clearly this is going to be a hard hitting
awesome
science fiction piece.
Yes.
I think they're gonna squeeze in some shit.
I watched I watched Godzilla 2014 today, actually, in preparation for our, because I put in the work, goddammit. And I just don't Wikipedia the plots like I did on Kong and King of the Monsters. I did
my best to think back.
Yeah. So I liked it a little bit better. Now, I tell you, I have probably a bad taste in my mouth from watching the original, watching it originally in 2014, because we went to the drive-in and I could not see a fucking thing on that screen of what was going on. It is so ridiculously, it's shot through mud and it's shot in all dark, and I don't like that, because that drove me crazy. And then twice, once in Hawaii and once in San Francisco, they show the Muto, you know, doing his thing. Yeah. And then Godzilla shows up and it's like this moment. It's like, they're facing off. It's like, oh, this is going to be a great fight. And then they cut and all you see is them fighting like on TV.
I love it.
Or the aftermath. I'm like, oh, what the, where's my fight?
I absolutely love it. I don't mind that. It's another one of those, we were just talking about WandaVision. It's another one where you're swinging for the hills. You're trying to hit a home run on this at bat. And the thing about Godzilla, though, is it doesn't stop trying to do that. It doesn't pull back. It doesn't say, oh, fuck it, we're just going to give you Godzilla porn. Horseshit. It's like, wrong. We're going for it. And it gets to San Francisco. And there's that great scene where Godzilla shows up and he's super angry. And then they doors shut close the door. On him. It's like, I went, yes. That was my reaction. Oh my god, they're going for it.
And we
it.
Saw
they're
nothing.
Really going for it. I have no problem with that.
I do.
Absolutely none.
Do you know what that was? That was, we ran out of money because of the skydiving shot that we put in the trailer. That's what that
which
was.
Which was fucking great.
Yeah, where they put in the 2001 music.
Which, by the way, the new trailer does all that crap too. And I'm like, going Schlock City. It would just be great if, you know, one of the buildings that gets knocked down is just the giant obelisk. Listen, not every joke lands. So anyway, I think it's fantastic. I love that you have the little
plot
soldier
was, the plot was
at
decent.
The giant feet while they're beating the hell out of each other, and you don't get to see all of it because it's a vehicle for that. It's one of these things where Roger Ebert, and I think I've said it before,
It
doesn't matter what it's about. It's about how it goes about it. And Godzilla is one of those films where, yeah, it's a giant lizard movie, but it's going for that underlying subtext about man and the environment, and the environment's going to reject it, and you can't control what's going to happen because you're this little fish in a giant sea. There's all of that going on. I have no problem with it because it attempted to go for it. Doesn't mean it necessarily succeeded, because I don't think it succeeded completely. But it got pretty close. And it's super fucking entertaining to watch. And you've got Ken Watanabe, who looks like he just got done listening to a Smiths record. And Morrissey is really depressing, and he looks kind of depressed. And it's entertaining. I can't help it. It's super entertaining. It's so much better than the Godzilla.
God damn it. I pay my money for a film that says Godzilla on it. I don't want to see a bunch of goddamn doors shut when Godzilla finally appears on the fucking screen. I pay my money, goddammit. I want to see some lizard fighting.
Let me ask you this. Do you hate Jaws because you don't see the shark till the end?
Fuck you.
Not saying that the films are the same. Look at that. I got you.
Fuck
not
you.
Saying they're the same. I'm not saying they're the same, because they absolutely are not. Godzilla is light years better than Jaws.
Oh, stop. Oh, you just
joke.
Destroyed.
It's a joke.
You just
I'm
destroyed
just
your character. Get off
look
my
at,
screen.
Look at, Jaws is one of the... Jaws... Are you really...
Okay. I just got him off the screen, ladies and gentlemen. You can't see him anymore, because obviously he's a mental patient.
Jaws is one of my favorite films of all time. Matter of fact, depending on the day you ask me, it's my favorite film of all time. But you don't get the money shot, essentially, until the end. I mean, virtually the last couple of minutes, do you really see anything? Godzilla is sort of the same way. They went for it. They didn't necessarily succeed, but they went for it. It's one of those, again, I admire the attempt. And by the way, when you see Godzilla, you can actually see Godzilla.
Yeah, okay, look, I'll say some good things about it. The plot was better than I recall.
Rips face, you know, blows his load down that not Rodan. Yeah, you know, face. It's brilliant. It's like I went, hey, well, I don't care. That was fun as hell.
Wow, it turned into some sort of snuff film for a second.
Yeah, Cage made a movie in the 90s.
I did like the plot. The plot was fine. I think it needed about 40 to 50% more Bryan Cranston. I think killing him was a bad idea because Aaron Johnson is a plank of wood.
I think 15 more minutes of him and he would have been nominated for an Oscar. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
Aaron Johnson, and I like Elizabeth Olsen. I've seen Aaron Johnson in things like Kick-Ass, and he does just a fine job. But I think he was a plank of wood in this. And I was not, you know, once... You could just feel all the air getting sucked out of the movie once Cranston died. And that's probably my biggest issue with it. But it was more entertaining when I watched it today than I expected it to be. I was actually, I was engaged and I felt like, okay, I get it. And part of that is because Godzilla King of the Monsters is terrible.
It's a remake of Godzilla 98. In that you can't see what the fuck is going on. There's no direction. I don't even think there's a moment on screen where you're like, oh, there's something in the foreground. There's something in the background. And you can tell the depth because the entire film, it looks like they spent $400 million hiding how fucking lazy they are. Yeah. Because you can't, even on that big stupid ship in the air, there's no depth. There's no scale. There's the guy who was in Super 8 and Friday Night Lights, and then there's just some shit around there, and it doesn't matter because it's loud and chaotic the entire time. And then when the monsters show up, here's that case where when they show up, you're like, well, what the hell is going on? Who's doing what and why? A great quote. Who are you and why are you here?
Well, I don't get what they were trying. I mean, so Mothra is hatched and they try to communicate with her using some sort of weird orca thing. And then the lady that created that, she's actually on the side of the terrorists that broke in.
Right.
But then she changes her mind and Millie Bobby Brown is there looking just frightened face all the time at the green screen she's looking at. And
they destroy Fenway Park and you don't even see it. And then when they're in destroyed Fenway Park, you can't even tell.
So then they have to fight Ghidorah. And I have no memory of what the hell happened or why it happened. I mean, I kind of remembered Godzilla 2014 and what happened and why it happened. As I was going through it, I was like, yeah, okay. I didn't feel like I was watching. And I remember Kong Skull Island, which I thought was that was they learned their mistake to make sure that John C. Reilly made it to the end of the film.
yep.
Because he was the guy that made that.
It's a perfectly fine film. It's a serviceable,
uh-huh. Interesting movie. I didn't even hate Brie Larson in it.
No, her forehead was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Say it out of, maybe you'll laugh, not sue me.
But
now we have this, and it looks like a horrible, I don't know.
You're talking King of Monsters?
This is all I can do this. It's just this.
Yeah.
Well, no. King of the Monsters. I would rather watch Zilla 98, I think, than King of the Monsters again.
Yes.
And I'm not even sure I'm comfortable saying that out loud.
Yeah, I don't know if Zilla 98 ranks in even entertainingly bad.
It's shit. It's pure shit.
It is. Shit,
but it's got a P. Diddy music and, it's the 90s, so it's instantly got points, but you can kind of tell what's happening sometimes. None of it makes any sense, but King of the Monsters, it's just things, it's chaotic. Things are happening at breakneck speed for reasons that aren't completely clear, and who's fighting who for what reason. It's just like, oh, forget it. I mean, one of my kids is a huge Godzilla fan, and we stayed up watching it, and he was like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's just,
I don't know.
Boring.
Can't tell you. It's a boring film.
Yeah.
And it was so promising. Now we're going to speculate on what this thing is.
I would assume, so what I saw in the trailer, I mean, when he came at him holding whatever the hell he was holding and blocking the, I'm like, this is, no, that is awful. I love it. I mean,
we're going to get a schlocky version, but my prediction is before you and the greater LMO audience, lastmovieoutpost.com, check us out every day for new breaking news, fantastic articles, and wonderful Hollywood history, thanks to Ben.
Please,
over here, and then there's Patreon, so you're going to be right about here. Check out Yoda's OnlyFans right here. Here's what's going to happen.
I don't have OnlyFans. What is it with you and OnlyFans, man? I think you got more going on there than you're wanting to tell us.
OnlyFans. I will pull my pants down to show you.
I figured.
We're going to get. I got action, folks. Take bets. How many can I take? Back to real world. We're going to get Godzilla fighting King Kong for a little bit, and then there's going to be the Save Martha scene where King Kong is going to be talking about what's her name.
Godzilla's like, hey, Martha!
And Godzilla is going to, you know, break off the attack or whatever, and they're going to realize they have a bigger enemy to fight, and it's probably going to be Mechagodzilla.
I think you're right.
That weird-looking tarantula thing.
Muto.
Or King Ghidorah is going to come back, because King Ghidorah's head, I think, was saved at the end of whatever the hell happened in the last one.
Did he grow be like a Mecha new Ghidorah. Head in that one?
Probably.
I'm trying to remember.
Couldn't tell.
Didn't they like blow up everything his head and he grew a new head?
Everything was filmed with like an orange filter. And that's all I remember.
I think the deal is that somebody's manipulating Godzilla, and
yeah, I would believe that.
Once they figure out, you know, who's pissing off the Hulk and stop him, then you know, Godzilla, Hulk, whatever, will get better, and then he'll join Kong and they'll both beat the shit out of whatever it is.
Oh yeah.
And I'm fine with that. Just lean into it. That's all I'm asking. Just lean into it, and I'll be very entertained. Don't shut the fucking doors just before things get good. Lean into it.
If you're going to go schlock, go schlock. If you want to try and tell a story, go schlock. Just stop. Just, you did it once, you got away with it with Godzilla 2014.
There you go.
Go full schlock. Even Godzilla in Japan went full schlock at some point. So just do it. Whoa. Embrace it. You've got the money to build an aircraft carrier. You might as well fucking destroy everything you goddamn can.
Yeah, when Godzilla was going floating above the you know, with his tail in those old Toho movies, you know, they gave up giving a shit.
If they do that, I will be pissed and impressed.
And happy.
You went like to a level that I didn't even think you were capable of.
If they ever bring
here
out,
you are.
If they ever bring out Godzuki, I'll be very upset.
Oh no, that's where I draw the line. Every man's got to have a code. Mm-hmm. That's my code. You show baby Godzilla, I'm walking out.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I hate that goddamn thing. Hope he gets AIDS.
Godzilla AIDS. Rodan told me she was clean, man.
Hey, man, this was Tokyo in the 70s.
That's right. I was in Haiti. And
I would like that movie. Do that. Yeah. If you did like
Godzilla in Haiti.
And you tell it like Philadelphia.
You're fired, oh, Godzilla.
Godzilla has to sue his boss. Because he got AIDS.
You see Godzilla sitting in a courtroom. Treat the witness as hostile. He just flames him right there. Order in the court. Any more outbursts like that from you, Godzilla?
Somebody call Bruce Springsteen. We need a score written set.
This has gotten very weird, people. We hope you're enjoying it as much as we are, because we're just having fun and we don't give a shit.
I think we're on to something.
I think we are on to something, yeah.
You could have, like, Godzuki was abandoned as a child and he grew up poor in the South.
That's right.
He meets President Kennedy and he talks about Dr. Pepper.
Then
his wife got AIDS.
Yeah, Godzuki is homeless and giving blowjobs for money in a back alley or something, you know.
Just to support his
coke habit.
Oh, that'd be great. Godzuki could fight in Vietnam and lose his legs.
I'm pretty sure this is a Robot Chicken episode.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Like, born on the 4th of July, but baby Godzilla.
Comes out in a wheelchair. You don't care. Nobody cares.
Godzilla shot. Baby Godzilla killed his friend, a tortoise.
That's right. <An accident. laughs> Oh no, Gamera.
Gamera, no. You don't know what it was like, man. You weren't there.
Sitting there smoking joints.
Monster Island.
There you go, smoke rings come
Monster
out.
Monster Island.
I feel like we've got a property here that we could sell. I feel like there's something here. Can't be any worse than any of this other shit we gotta watch. Let us know in the comments. You think we're onto something? this really got bizarre, didn't it? This is what happens when you drink, kids.
It's true. Alcohol, it's your friend.
It is. It brings out the creativity in you. You know, we're going to watch this tomorrow going, what the fuck were we doing?
What happens when Godzuki is trying to go to another planet, but his air tanks rupture and it blows a hole in the egg?
I think that...
That's as far as I got.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm all stuck in this James Bond, so I'd like to see, you know, Godzilla, you know, with the circle around him.
Right.
But what do I know? So, we...
Godzilla, we have a problem.
We down for Godzilla versus Kong?
I mean, we're going to watch it regardless.
What do you think? Do you think they'll do anything more after that? I mean, this has been kind of the monster verse, but hasn't really killed it like they hoped.
If the movie makes over $1 billion, maybe there'll be another one.
Well, it's going to be on HBO Max, so I don't know.
Oh, no, I think this is it. I think we did a show on the future of blockbusters. Or we've talked about the future of blockbusters before.
Many times. I think this
is it. You know what? It might not matter. Godzilla could be a huge hit. How are you going to quantify that with streaming? They want to get it out. I think they want to get it over with. It's like Wonder Woman. Everybody claims Wonder Woman was a big hit. Maybe it was. I don't know. But
let's bring up that story since you've brought it up. Let me see here if I can get that onto our Chrome here. But we were looking and HBO Max is saying, yeah, this has really worked for us. We've been able to make a lot of money, thanks to...
It's believable. I mean, they have 100% of the dollars coming in. They don't have to pay distributors. They don't have to pay theaters. So the idea that it's easier to make money this way is 100% believable. Whether or not it did, and they're telling the truth, is the rub.
So HBO and HBO Max, which I don't know why there would be, but let's just say HBO Max has passed the 41 million subscriber mark. That's 2 years ahead of their target timeline. So, you know, they're making money hand over fist, and they good say they're saying that a lot of it that they just got a ton of watches over the Christmas break yeah. of Wonder Woman 84, which again makes sense. I would think that they would do a lot.
I believe it.
So now that you've got Godzilla versus Kong coming out, you've got the Justice League Snyder Cut, which that's just, I'm just looking for that for the train wreck possibilities. Oh, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
There's nothing to contradict what it is they're saying, because, I mean, they also control the flow of information. So whatever they say is the only thing you have to go on. They could be right. They could absolutely be right. It's perfectly plausible.
I'm wondering
that, yes, Wonder Woman was a big hit, and, you know, everything else before that was, what was it, Mulan or whatever? I mean, it was a big success.
Well, certainly Mandalorian has killed it for them, and probably yeah. more than Mulan or Soul. I don't think Disney yeah. Plus is really... Now, WandaVision's probably doing pretty well, because the MCU still has a lot of goodwill. We'll see. I guess there's a lot of new stuff coming to Disney Plus in the next few months, and they have a new thing called Star, which is mm-hmm. added to Disney Plus, and I guess we'll call it, this is how we're going to bring in all the stuff that's full of curse words from 20th Century Fox without branding it as Disney Plus. I mean, you'll still be part of the Disney Plus app, but you just, you know how you get those four or five yep. Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars. Be one more there called Star, and I think that's where they get all the more adult shit in there.
Too bad they don't call it like Disney TV MA.
Yeah. Yeah, Mickey Mouse in porn. So
Mickey Mouse in porn.
The
ooh, dropping loads.
That's right.
You just mute me do at it. Some point. I don't know.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Oh.
The Emperor's getting
imagine
some.
Goofy. Something's going on here.
Gorsh.
Gorsh. Ooh. You could goes, woo.
You know that weird yell yeah. that he does when he gets thrown? It's like, yahoo! I kind of figure that's what he sounds like when he orgasms too, but that's just me.
Do you think about it often? Be honest.
Probably more than it's healthy. So
I just hope that Mickey and Minnie have a loving, intimate relationship where they explore all those things that excite and tantalize and bring them together. And they write letters to David Duchovny.
Dear Red Shoes.
Dear
Diaries.
Red Shoes.
You're
never going to believe this. Turns out I am.
This has been a terrible stream. Send your letters, too. I'm looking at what's coming out. There's a ton of shit coming out with HBO Max.
Yeah.
And they already have a ton of stuff. Now you add in the Starz stuff, which will probably bring in a ton of the 20th Century Fox stuff as well. Between those two streaming sites, you probably got about 50% of everything, if not more.
Much of that stuff let's just say the average movie fan not already own somewhere else, compared to do they really want to own all the rest of it? I mean, if you own Alien and Aliens, and oh, by the way, it's now being brought over to Disney TVMA. It's like for another $6. It's like, motherfucker, I already have it. Is it really going to bring?
I think it's just something they're
already
adding to
that
it.
We have already really going to bring people in.
I just love the idea of Alien in space. No one can hear you scream. Now on Disney Plus.
Coming soon to the Disney family of films yeah. in space. No one can hear you. Can't wait for them to put U-turn on.
Crash.
I didn't want to sit here and be lectured like this.
The People versus Larry Flint, now on Disney Plus.
Mickey Mouse presents People versus Larry Flint.
Boogie Nights, now on Disney Plus.
Oh, because of your interest in Snow White, we think you might like Schindler's List.
God. Algorithms, they are our friends.
Oh, they're brilliant. Wait until they put in, like, Witness or whatever it was called.
Because,
of your interest in Snow White, you might like Witness.
I was watching Disney Plus and I was looking at Jodie Foster getting raped out of pinball
chair. Snow White falls asleep. What does this have to do with Jodie Foster being raped out of pinball machine?
I don't know. The algorithm's
Disney
gone crazy.
Like this. Dear Disney,
you know what's
not
you know
funny.
What's and what's sick is like, yeah, I'll give that a go. It really does know me. Oh my god. I've got some dark shit going on here, don't I?
Are you guys following me on Pornhub too? When's the chick with a dick show up? I'm ready to go.
You know, it's amazing that we've kept our viewers, that they haven't dropped like a crater
Which
at this
one?
Point.
Who's still watching?
Hey, we got seven people watching this.
They're masturbating.
And 30, they might be. I don't want to know about it if you are.
Because of your interest in Snow White, you might like Deliverance by Disney Plus Plus.
Squeal like a pig.
Sure do got a pretty mouth.
Oh God, I'm hurt. I'm hurting on this one. This may get us banned off YouTube.
Yeah, well, it was fun.
It was fun while it lasted, guys.
I'll see you on the dark web.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll sell nuclear weapons.
Gonna have to go to Rumble from now on.
This joke is brought to you by Ahmed, who's got a missile to sell. Serious inquiries only.
Okay, folks. Some of this is just for us. I'll be honest with you. Okay, so we were talking about Godzilla. I think that was the title of this goddamn thing, and I think we've talked maybe out of this hour and 20 minutes, we've talked maybe about 10 minutes of Godzilla, and the rest of it has been about our sick, depraved shit. So, this is what happens when you mix streaming and alcohol.
It's true.
I'm not
because
proud.
Of your interest in. Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. Because of your interest in The Princess and the Frog, we recommend Amistad. Disney Plus has got a lot to answer for pretty soon.
Because of your interest in The Adventures of Davy Crockett, you might like Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. At some point, watching these streaming things, I'll probably drink myself to death, too. Okay. You got anything else? This has been way too much fun.
I think I'm good. Did we cover everything? So basically, Godzilla is going to be a shit show.
Yes, I think so. I will read through our various chats, which at this point, they've given up putting anything in the chat and have mostly just stared at us slack-jawed and wondering what the fuck is going on with these two. Let's see. Somebody said Martin Sheen. I think when you were talking about Apocalypse Now, that maybe he had the heart attack. I'm sure there were many heart attacks during that movie.
Okay, Martin Sheen might have, but I thought it was Francis Ford Coppola.
Yes. Kurt, that was for nice Gary. Part. Thank you. I got more coming.
Oh, I believe you.
There were gay orgies in the trailers on the set of Wonder Woman 1984. Inside information. That sounds way too inside for me.
All right. Thanks, Mom.
And Ebob says, I bet Rami Malek was at one. Kurt says, more than one, at least six or seven. Gay orgies in the trailers on the set of Wonder Woman 1984. This is one of those things where I'm going to go.
So, all right, good for you. Yeah. Yeah, what do I care?
Bourgeois Scum says, you made a bad analogy. True German cars are better made, but Italian cars have a soul and a passion to them. So I guess you would call the MCU Kia. That's probably a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Volvo. MC was Volvo. Can we rewind it and do it again? MC was Volvo. They're reliable. They're a nice station wagon.
Bourgeois Scum, I dig the new Godzilla movies. He also says Jackson's Kong is 50 minutes too long. Agreed. I love the cuts from the fights, reminding me of the cheap Italian knockoff movies of the 70s. he's talking about the cuts, like, you know, in Godzilla. Kurt asks, are they finally talking about Godzilla yet? Yeah, it took us a while.
Wait until you get to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to get us some letters. King of the Monsters is fine. It's exactly what you want a monster movie. I have no issues following it, but I know all the Godzilla lore from Toho. Fair enough. I mean, I thought it just didn't really play as well as the first one. Kurt says Pacific Rim 2 was way better, all shot in daylight. Pacific Rim 2... I like Pacific Rim.
Terrible.
I like the first one, but it's not great.
It. I don't hate it. I just, whatever.
I don't disagree.
I expected more from Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, I did too. But at least
whatever his name is.
But at least I felt like he was having fun.
Guillermo
del Toro. Benicio's
Harry Knowles, good friend.
Yeah, Harry Knowles has lots of good friends. Harry Knowles should probably be in prison, but hey, what do I know?
Hey, because of your interest in Robinson Crusoe, be sure to check out Requiem for a Dream on Disney Plus.
Okay, so that is, yeah, you've been banned. So
that would be pretty historic.
Thank you again, Dom. I know this is kind of impromptu, but you got anything?
Been fun.
Say to the group out there?
Nothing incriminating, that's for sure.
All right.
This was fun. You know what? I've been looking forward to it. I love
Where's this video you keep telling me that you're working on? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Literally, let me show you this. You see that right there? That's my computer. That, awkward. Was it out? Big, huh? It's on my laptop, and I'm going to be perfectly honest in front of you and in front of our thousands of viewers right now, I completely forgot that I had it on my computer. I literally did. It's been a crazy 2 weeks, quite frankly. So
yeah,
but it's there, it's done, and all I've got to do is log in and make it happen.
Well, you need to do that, produce it and get it up to the site. I understand that the fall of civilization has been happening lately, and by the way, go Wall Street Bets. I hope you destroy all the hedge funders.
Good I have for you guys. No problem with what's happening right now.
I am enjoying the shit out of it.
Oh, this is great. Absolutely wonderful.
The peasants are revolting. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Hey, we'll just eat cake.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of those guys are getting some pretty nice damn cake.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those hedge fund companies, I heard a losses of $70 billion. I could not laugh hard enough.
That if that's true, that's impressive. The past easily 6 months, but more specifically the past probably 3 or 4 have been, I mean, it's all on the table. It turns out if you were a crazy conspiracy guy, you might have been closer to the truth than just about anybody else, because now that it's all out there, I mean, everything, they've all showed their true colors, and it is.
This is more historic than Trump getting elected, or I mean, it is a turning point. They're going to be fucked, but this is not this channel. So,
you know what it proves, though? It proves that I was right, that Dark Knight Rises was a brilliant film. You're now living.
You know
in
what?
It.
You're not completely wrong.
This is insane.
I better check for bombs in the sewers and stuff.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll go ahead and end this here. Thank you all for watching. Remember, got all our information scrolling down there below. Last Movie Outpost.
OnlyFans link.
That's right. And we are at 195 subscribers. Let's get us up to 200. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. We're getting closer. Got a long ways to go, obviously, but gotten a lot of great views on the YouTube channel. And of course, go to lastmovieoutpost.com. Got the latest news.
Fantastic.
Got the latest
fantastic
reviews.
Videos, by the way, Yoda. I don't know if you hear it or not. You do some pretty incredible work.
Well, I appreciate that. I will send the check. We'll get it out there to you. But we're having a good time, and we want you all to join us. This is what it's all about. We're just having fun. And it's about time we started having fun again, because the last 4 years have been kind of crappy, and this last year has been really bad. So let's get out there.
Shit, so it's time to start laughing.
It's time to start laughing again. That's what we're trying to do, and enjoying ourselves. So you take care, and we will see you on the next stream.